KVOE, we are live and we are local. I am Ron Thomas, hosting today's Talk of Emporia with Central Care Cancer Center, and we're very pleased to be joined, as we are monthly, by Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist and hematologist, Central Care Cancer Center at 1401 West 12th here in Emporia. Dr. Wazir, good morning.
Good morning, Ron.
How are you today?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Nice to see you. Always grateful that you can take some time to join us to share important information with our listeners. First, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had to go to Michigan. But got some turkey and good food. And it was a good time.
Turned out good. So were you busy at the Cancer Center?
Oh, yeah. It's getting pretty busy at the Cancer Center. But we're very happy. And we're being very productive. And the new radiation machine we talked about, it's been in action and has been working pretty nicely. So, yeah, pretty busy at the Cancer Center.
Yeah, we had an opportunity to see that machine when you had your open house a couple of months ago. Pretty incredible.
Yeah, we had a good turnout from the local community and everything. And I really like how everybody has taken ownership of our little facility and really adds a lot of meaning to our work. So
it really does. And we are very fortunate, as I have said many times before, to have Central Care Cancer Center in our community. Again, 1401 West 12th. For more information, you can certainly find it online, ccccancer.com. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 until 4:30. Again, here with Dr. Ali Wazir. And our topic this month, Dr. Wazir, head and neck cancers. What all kinds of cancers are included with the head and neck?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is, whenever we talk about cancers of, body system, bladder cancer, lung cancer, we're usually talking about one organ, but the head and neck is many different organs. So the way to think about it is, even though it includes the word head in it, this does not include any cancer inside the skull. So nerve cancer or brain cancers or schwannomas in the brain, those are not included in the category of head and neck cancers.
Okay.
So we're talking about strictly about cancers coming from the major organs of the head and neck outside the brain. Right? So this would include, the pharynx, which is the part of your head and neck that kind of deals with taking the food from your mouth down into the esophagus and into the stomach, and your larynx, which is your voice box, along with the trachea that takes air to your lungs and everything. So, this is an anatomically complex area. Another reason this is anatomically complex is that, the apparatus that we use to make speech and to swallow, your tongue and the associated things, they're anatomically complex. And as this is one of the natural openings of your body, there's a lot of lymphatic tissue around the same area. And oftentimes the cancer first presents as a, mass in the side of the neck because there's a lot of lymphatic tissue that's not just lymph nodes, but also also a thing called a Waldeyer's ring. You may have heard of kids having tonsils taken out. So that's the tonsils are just part of this whole ring of structures that are there for immune surveillance, right? Because most of the things that come into your body comes through your mouth. It's either air or food. So this is a place where the immune system can kind of sample whatever is coming in and out and use that for surveillance and things of that nature. So you have a lot of lymphoid tissue in the same area as well. So we're talking about cancer coming in this area, right? So this also breaks down into major categories, which we'll talk about further.
So when you're talking about the head and neck, obviously very complex and a lot to deal with here, but are there some common indicators that people can watch for?
Yeah, well, that is a very good question. So I would say that the way to think about this is that, I'll make roughly three categories, right? So one is nasopharyngeal cancer. So that is cancers coming from your nasal passageway going into the first part of the pharynx, which is the shared opening for your food and air, and into the larynx. So these nasopharyngeal cancers, these are different from other head and neck cancers, right?
Just as a layman, don't hear much about nasal cancer.
That is a very, very astute observation because it's not common at all. It is very rare in America. You'd be surprised to find a case every year in a practice, a community practice. But believe it or not, it's one of the top cancers in China. And the reason that is thought to be the case is there is an endemic of a virus called the Epstein-Barr virus that we, you know, it's one of the viruses that cause a mononucleosis kind of illness in America, but it's very common in East Asia. And over there, there's, you know, most of the world's cases of nasopharyngeal cancers are down there. But it's a rare cancer in America, so we won't spend time talking about that. We'll talk about the major cancers that involve, you know, your mouth, for example, cancers of the tongue, on the side of the tongue, in the back of the tongue, cancers of the pharynx, or the cancers of the voice box, like all of these cancers. So what's common about all of these cancers? Well, the thing that's common about all of these cancers is that they come out of a type of cell called a squamous cell. Right, the covering of your mouth is different from the covering of your esophagus or your breathing tube, because over here they aren't gland-forming cells. These are tight cells that are formed to kind of protect the opening of your body. Right, so they're very similar. They're more similar to your skin than the other coverings of your body, like as I talked about your esophagus and your stomach and what have you. So these are squamous cells. So all of the cancers coming from all these areas, in the end of the day, are squamous cells. So that means a lot of these cancers are treated with very similar agents. So what are things, characteristics about squamous cell that are important, right? Well, there are three things to keep in mind, right? One thing to keep in mind is that they can get infected by the virus called HPV, right? So the HPV virus can cause infections in these cells, and these cell this infection can down the road lead to cancers, right?
Yeah.
The other thing that is common is that smoking and alcohol use, both smoking and alcohol use, both can cause cancers in these kind of cells. So those are major risk factors, as as you mentioned, for head and neck cancer. And the third thing to understand is that, you know, these kind of cells are very sensitive to chemotherapy, but they're also exquisitely sensitive to radiation as well. So that's the third characteristic that you need to know about these kind of cells. So now the thing is that because these common characteristics exist for all cancers, starting from your tongue all the way down to the larynx, the difference is the anatomic locations, right? Because some of these locations you can do surgery, some of them you cannot do surgery, some of them you need to do a certain kind of surgery, some of them you cannot do a certain kind of surgery. In some of them, preserving the function is very important, you know, like the swallowing or the voice-making function. In some, it's not that important, preserving the function. So that is what makes this kind of cancer a little complex, and that's why for this kind of cancer, it's very important to have the surgeon, the radiation doctor, and the cancer doctor working together as one group.
This is our Monday edition, a monthly edition of Central Care Cancer Center's Talk of Emporia with Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist and hematologist with Central Care Cancer Center. We'll be back with more right after this. Ron Thomas back here, KVOE, AM 1400, 96.9 FM. This is the Central Care Cancer Center monthly Monday edition of the Talk of Emporia with Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist and hematologist with Central Care Cancer Center. Head and neck cancers, our topic this week, and Dr. Wazir got us off to a very informational start in our first segment. We want to talk now about some prevention and early detection details. Dr. Wazir, any genetic predispositions to this type of cancer or cancers?
Yeah, well, I mean, there are some very rare syndromes that can increase the risk of getting these kind of cancers. But by and large, for the vast majority of the population, these are preventable cancers because, by and large, they're caused by, as I said, smoking, alcohol use, and now increasingly exposure to the HPV virus. You have to understand that, till the 60s and 70s, even the early 80s, the predominant cause of most head and neck cancers in America was folks who were smoking and drinking a lot. But that has changed in the recent years. And now probably a simple majority is now of the virus HPV causing cancers. So we talked about this virus in a previous episode on cervical cancer. So the first thing I would tell everybody is that, like, if you haven't already, please get the Gardasil shot. You know, this will protect you against the 7 to 8 cancer-causing HPV viruses. And it's extremely effective. And the earlier you get it in life, the better it is. Because of changes in, you know, sexual practices in the broader world and in America in particular, we are having more exposure to the HPV virus, both in men and women. And this is driving a large number of the new cases that we deal with. They're wild-related. As rates of smoking and alcohol use, well, not alcohol use, of smoking that have come down in the years, the smoking-related cases of squamous cell cancer of the head and neck have started coming down. But, you know, those were very quickly replaced by these new cases that are we are seeing from the HPV virus. So first thing I would say that, you know, please, you know, get the Gardasil shot. The FDA has approved it till age 45.
Okay.
And you have to understand that there are 40 different kinds of HPV viruses, and you get immunity to each of them separately. Right. So, you know, it's possible that, you know, your sexual partner had only like the 16 or 18 or the 8 and 7. So, you know, the sooner you get the vaccine, the better it is to develop the immunity. But up to age 45, you should male or female, you should get this vaccine, because apart from the hepatitis B vaccine, I cannot think of any other vaccine that can prevent as much cancer as this. And not only will it protect you against head and neck cancer, it will protect you against cervical cancer, anal cancer, penile cancer, many other cancers. So it's like, you know, I mean, that $400, like if you have to pay off insurance, and most insurances cover it, of course, you know, it's a worthy investment. Like, you won't get more bang for your buck with any other intervention.
No kidding. So is that vaccine readily available then?
It's readily available. Just talk to your PCP, and especially if you have kids, you know, around... you know, there's a big study in Denmark, and you know, it shows that if you give the vaccine by age 13 or 11, you know, that early period, you know, the protections are like more than 90%, and you can pretty much eliminate a lot of these cancers by just doing it early. Later in life, it's a little less effective because you may be exposed to the virus already, and the virus, unfortunately, it doesn't, like, your body doesn't really fight it off that well, and it just stays in dormancy for a long time. So it's really about getting the vaccine at the right time. But even if you're older, you should get the vaccine. It's not a bad idea. The second thing is smoking. Again, you know, like this cancer is directly related to smoking, and historically that was the major risk factor. But apart from smoking, chewing tobacco is also...
I was going to ask about that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so apart from smoking, chewing tobacco in all its forms, you know, going from like... snooze or just, you know, other kinds of chewing tobacco, all of them unfortunately can cause mouth squamous cell cancer. In my part of the world, the biggest cause is not chewing tobacco, it's betel nut. So
betel nut.
Oh gosh, it's this thing, unfortunately, in Southeast Asia and South Asia, it's very common where they chew on this nut called a betel nut, and it's a mild... it's kind of like tobacco in the sense that it like it kind of gives you like that awake feeling.
Okay.
That's why it's that popular. But it's a major cause of you know, cancer, but not in America, but you know, in other parts of the world. There are other you know, plant products that have been associated with it. There's this plant that's eaten in Ethiopia and Yemen. It's called khat. That has also been related to you know, mouth. But in America, we're talking about chewing tobacco and smoking. Right. Yes, and smoking also is the major cause of cancers in the larynx. You have to remember that you don't get any of the viral infections going all the way down to your larynx. So that is almost 100% associated with smoking and alcohol use. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that they're synergistic. Like, if people who drink and smoke have a much higher risk of cancer than anybody who does one of each. Right. So if you're just a smoker or just a alcohol drinker, you know, and we're talking about regular use, almost daily use, those folks, they get the brunt of the problem, you know, with head and neck cancer. So
what about screening? Is that a good option for folks?
Yeah. So here, dental health, you know, a lot of the cases are first picked up by dentists. Right.
Okay.
So I'll give you a scenario, you know, so there'll be people who'll say, oh, you know, I have this little thing on the side of my tongue. I didn't make much of it. And, you know, I thought it'll go away. And, you know, 4 months later, it got bigger. And then, you know, now they have to have half their tongue taken out, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, any spots in your mouth and your tongue, you know, this tissue is usually not prone for getting ulcers and getting a lot of things, you know. So, you know, you should know how your mouth feels, and you should know how things are. And any, you know, any lesion you have on your tongue or in your mouth, under your lips or anywhere like that, you know, that is automatically going to your primary care doctor or your dentist or ENT surgeon. Because it needs to be investigated. You know, that could be a start of a squamous cell cancer. The other way these show up is like a painless lump on the neck, right? Because of the anatomy of this region, the cancer very quickly moves to the lymph nodes. Like, it's very, it's almost unheard of catching the cancer before it has not gone to one of the lymph nodes. It's very rare.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, usually they'll show up as like, oh, you know, I don't feel anything in my mouth, but I have this like painless lump on the side of my neck. And it's not painful at all, but it's slowly getting bigger. And now I feel two lumps, right? So that often is, you know, not all the time, but most of the time that is squamous cell cancer that has gone to one of the lymph nodes of the neck. So I would say a painful lymph node is not that important. That could be from like the, you know, like a viral infection. But a painless lump in your neck that is growing, enlarging, is cancer till proven otherwise.
Get that checked out. Quickly then, correct?
Absolutely.
This is the Central Care Cancer Center monthly edition of the Talk of Emporia with Dr. Ali Wazir, Central Care Cancer Center medical oncologist and hematologist. Stay tuned. We are back with segment number 3 right after this. KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. This is the Central Care Cancer Center monthly Monday edition of the Talk of Emporia. Pleased, as always, to be joined by Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist and hematologist with Central Care Cancer Center. And they're located at 1401 West 12th here in Emporia. You can call 342-1117 for more information. Head and neck cancer has been this month's topic, and Dr. Wazir, let's talk about the options for treatment with head and neck cancer. What are we looking at?
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, this is a complex field, and as I said, you know, it's not something one doctor can figure out on his own. Like, it usually is a, you know, something that goes into a multidisciplinary board where, like, a couple of doctors sit together or, you know, if not formally, they're at least on the phone, like, kind of conference call and, like, figure out, like, what's right for the right patient. And I'll explain to you the reason why. So, for example, like, if you have a cancer in the front of your tongue, you know, the anterior two-thirds of the tongue, so in those kind of cancers, it's very hard to deliver chemotherapy and radiation safely, right? Because you know, the jaw is sensitive to radiation, and you may end up with a situation where you have like a dead jawbone, right? But believe it or not, surgery is possible, and not only possible, with good outcomes, with good functional outcomes, where they even may remove as much as 2/3 of your tongue to take the cancer out, and they may have, but they're able to reconstruct it by taking, like, your, for example, a gracilis muscle, which is one of your muscles in your front part of your leg. Okay. Of your thigh, and they can reconstruct it, and I mean, you'll have a hairy tongue, but you know, you'll be able to you'll be able to talk, and okay, you'll be able to swallow after you know, as you can imagine, a lot of physical therapy, speech and swallow therapy. But now the same situation, if you go to the back of your tongue, becomes very complicated. Surgeries over there are fraught. It's very hard to get negative margins, right? Because there's not a lot to cut around, and in that case, then radiation and chemotherapy, it makes a lot more sense, and that is the treatment of choice. And, you know, the same kind of thing goes on everywhere in the head and neck. Now, like, for example, your voice box, right? This used to be, you know, practically all the time surgical disease, right?
Yep.
But then there's this, like, famous trial at the VA where they kind of figured out that for a lot of the patients, you're able to treat them without surgery and preserving their voice box by doing chemo radiation together. So, you know, again, it's very complex and really depends on the stage of invasion and whether surgery is possible or not. In some places, surgery is clearly the way to go. And chemotherapy and radiation is like a backup option or an option for, like, when they do the surgery and there's cancer left behind. Or if there's cancer left behind in the lymph node that has broken through the capsule of the lymph node, in that case, we give the chemo radiation after surgery as an adjuvant to kind of mop things up. But in a lot of the other cases, you know, it would be like primarily surgery or just radiation or chemo radiation, depending again on the location and on the extent of the disease.
So surgery is primarily the first option that we're looking at.
For some of the
majority.
Absolutely. For some of the cancer, it is the preferred first option, as I said, in the front part of your tongue, for a lot of the lesions in the other parts of the mouth. But in the back of the floor of the tongue or the back of the mouth or there, then radiation chemotherapy is the primary option. In the larynx, for the early cancers that haven't invaded the cartilage, again, chemo radiation can cure most of the patients, so that is the preferred option. But then for some patients where it's more advanced, then surgery is the preferred option. So that is, you know, a nuanced discussion between, you know, radiation doctor, cancer doctor, and, of course, the ENT doctor who kind of, you know, in the end of the day, kind of calls the shot of, like, what's surgically possible and what isn't. So that's how it works.
Dr. Wazir, always a pleasure having you here. And, of course, Central Care Cancer Center, treatment availability right here in town, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just to kind of wrap things up, you know, the thing is that the chemo and chemotherapy radiation part is actually kind of straightforward because, you know, the chemotherapy and radiations are given together usually in head and neck cancers. And the chemo that we use for most patients is just one drug called cisplatin, which is, you know, for years has been the standard of care for this kind of cancer, you know, which is a great drug, but, you know, a little tricky to give because it can affect the kidneys and the hearing in some patients. But, you know, most patients are able to do it with a pretty relatively you know, functional outcomes. However, you have to understand that, you know, these cancers, you know, it is like a couple of years of your life where you're either going through treatment or recovering from treatment. There's a lot of therapy. There's a lot of, you know, lymphedema treatment. There's a lot of physical therapy. There's a lot of speech and swallow therapy because often these patients have to relearn how to speak and swallow. So I just wanted to end with that because, you know, even though if you look it up, you know, for a lot of the cancer, the cure rates are above 80-90% nowadays. But that is a lot of morbidity. It's a lot of work on the part of the patients, you know. Like, you know, they're never back to their old selves, and it's a lot of struggle. So prevention is key, Ron, as we talked about at the start of the thing. You know, if you catch this thing early, you know, you can probably get a surgical resection, kind of get away with it. If you haven't already, please get the Gardasil shot. Please stop smoking. Please, you know, watch the alcohol intake, you know, because, you know, these cancers, even though they're very curable and treatable, you know, gosh, it's a really life-changing kind of diagnosis, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask, my final question was, how has treatments advanced over the years? I mean, we talk about this, I think, on every show at some point. How much advancement has there been in the treatment of head and neck cancer?
I'll be honest with you, like, just the treatments, as I said, you know, like, we're kind of stuck still with the old chemotherapies, and I'm talking about the surgically resectable cancers, right? For the more advanced cancers, we have a few more options, like immunotherapy and stuff, but, you know, they haven't been slam dunks, you know. They have improved things, but haven't really pushed the needle that far. What has changed, I think, is that we have just gotten better at, like, the recovery. You know, how do you manage a feeding tube, how to do proper speech therapy, how to do proper swallow therapy, devices that help with, like, you know, pussy valves, etc., that help you talk again and eat again and swallow again. Those things have changed and really have made the big difference in patients. And then, of course, the surgery has really evolved and gotten less morbid, more minimally, not minimally invasive, but, like, more tight, you know, margins. And they've really made progress in those ends. But, like, from the chemo radiation point of view, we have made progress, but again, you know, it's kind of like pretty much the same therapy we may have been given like 10 years ago in at least surgical in resectable head and neck cancer or treatable head and neck cancer. So I would say we have made progress, but there's a lot more to do. And again, as I said, you know, like, the key is prevention.
Dr. Wazir, thank you as always.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. You have a great Christmas.
You too. You too. Have a great one.
Yeah, Central Care Cancer Center, state-of-the-art treatment right here in Emporia, 1401 West 12th. Call 342-1117 or log on to cccancer.com. And that wraps up this edition, this monthly Monday edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia with Dr. Ollie Wazir here on KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local.